This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK. I think we need to beam our satellites down to lovely Las Vegas, Nevada for our own Mike Hawk. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How you doing, guys?
We're doing fantastic. How long have you been in that airport?
Thank God we never actually had to go to the airport. So at first we were, when we originally scheduled this thing, we were supposed to fly out right around 1:30 in the afternoon. Before we even fly down here, we got delayed out to around 3:20, 3:30, something like that. And since this morning, they have continued to push our flight out to where now we are not flying out at 3:20. We're flying out somewhere around 7:20, 7:30 in the evening.
Do you honestly believe that's going to happen?
Yeah.
They said, do you believe you're going to make it out?
No, God, no. I think we're staying the night tonight.
Honest to God, don't sit around and wait. I would just maybe make some plans. Have your bag pack if you need to, but for the most part,
they're smart because they're just sitting at the hotel. They never went.
I know.
We never actually made it out to the airport. We currently have our bags sitting with the hotel just waiting for us for when it's time for us to actually get to the airport. But we are at the point right now exercising options to just say screw it. Find a flight for the morning, stay the night, one more night. And the thing is, it's beautiful here. It's clear skies, right around 60 degrees. It's great. The problem is, back home kind of sucks. So we can't fly in right now.
Yeah. Well, no, man. And here's the thing. So they keep delaying your flight, and because Ted told us about it earlier today. And we were like, based on the weather forecast that they have for Seattle, all the way down to San Francisco, basically, like, it's only going to get worse for about the next 36 hours. So, like, if they're already delaying it, there's nothing in the forecast that says, this would be a better time to fly.
My money says San Francisco's got some flight delays. So does Portland.
I would guess
anything,
so.
Anything north of San Francisco is probably dealing with the same thing.
I mean, Mike, you're in a little bit of luck.
Anything that we have when it comes to getting flights out of here, we have jumpers that are going through San Francisco. So that's good to know that we just need to avoid that altogether and to see if we can't fly direct back to Seattle.
Dude, and tomorrow, honestly, like, I don't know what's going on with that storm, but, like, I'm looking at the weather right now. Tomorrow during the day doesn't look that bad here. Like, windy, okay. But no rain.
So here's the thing. Like, I'm so glad that I have such a workplace that's okay with taking things over. However, I need to apologize to you, Ted, because I know that you're taking over with everything that I got going on. You've been an absolute champion for everything that I've got and cover my back this entire time. I might need you to take over one more day there, brother.
Yeah, I only threatened to spike a computer once. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Only no, once okay. that I heard.
Mike, were you Mike, were you in leaving Las Vegas mode? I mean, had you put the hurting on to the point where when you woke up
this
morning,
can't wait to go home, man.
Like, thank God, man. I don't know if I can do that one more day, and here you are, and now you got to do it one more day.
I mean, working with you, Jamokes, enough, I am okay with putting on one more day of just throwing down and drinking like crazy.
Attaboy.
The problem is just not knowing whether or not we're actually going to leave today or tomorrow.
So does that affect how much alcohol you're consuming?
No,
so in other words,
no,
like,
it's not.
In case
I'm three sheets right now as we speak. This is the drunkest I've been on the air, and I was wasted at Black Raven. Like, I am hammered right now.
Did you win any money?
I did. So here's the thing. I got up and like I can't sleep past 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning because I have a dog to walk. And for whatever reason, my body won't let me sleep beyond that point. And so I've been downstairs just reading a book, you know, sitting in front of the big screen that they got down here. And I got to burn my ass a couple days ago to go into the Caesars Sportsbook and put money on the Seahawks. But I knew that the Seahawks were playing the 49ers. Like, look, I root for my boys. I will talk them up all day long. There's a good chance we're not going to win this game. Screw it. Let me put $20 down. Guys, I won $63
all
in the
right,
game today
all
on that
right,
major
right.
comeback.
Yeah.
I'm stoked on that. And you bet I'm putting it on the tables right now.
Did anything did anything memorable happen on your Las Vegas getaway?
Oh, she'd hate for me to tell you this, but unfortunately, here we go. So it is the wife's 30th birthday right now, and so this trip is for her more than for me.
Clearly.
And over in the Luxor, there is this adult play place, and it is 21 plus. No kids are allowed in there, but it's got a lot of kid-style games for adults that are in there, and that includes a big old bouncy maze that's in there. It's not a bouncy house. It's a bouncy maze. So we're in there, and I'm just being a raucous SOB, and I'm double bouncing everybody that's around there. Eventually, her aunt tackles her down just because she loses balance, falls into my wife. And the two of them land on the ground. My wife is now bleeding from the face. She has now got a black eye.
All right.
And that kind of ended events for the night because my dumb ass was just bouncing them like crazy out there. And that kind of called it for last night. So good news is I didn't stay up too terrible late last night. So I've got a little energy left for
so
today.
So your girl on her 30th birthday got a shiner from you, essentially, and her aunt?
That is absolutely correct.
All right, now, okay,
she got a shiner for me on her 30th birthday.
Now, have you guys gone out in public together since this happened? Have you played on this at all?
Oh, absolutely. We have. She's got the big glasses going on. She's trying to find the opportune moment to pull it off to show that she's got it going on. We just don't know how advantageous it's going to get. I think I have to leave her in order for that to be for our benefit.
It's not going to look good for you, brother.
Well, just
like if you, when you do finally get on a plane, I'm just going to say this: if she takes off her glasses on a plane and she asks for a drink, she will get a drink. If you ask for a drink, they're going to tell you they can't serve you.
You should play this. You should play this out. Go to the bar. She sits down. You know what I mean. Takes her glasses off. And he asks her if she would like something to drink, and you just turn to the bartender and go, "I'll speak for her." and then you order. If she starts to talk, just say something like, "I told you what happens. I told you what'll happen. You shut up."
And black eyes. Like my buddy just got one, and I told him. He's like, "I'm just tired of people asking me about it." I go, "It's a black eye.
It's a black eye.
Everybody's like, exactly. What happened?
It is what it is."
Because if it's a dude, the assumption is that if it's a fight, right? If a woman has one, who are you dating? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Yeah. Who are you with?
Or if she's sitting someplace.
Who's the SOB that put this on you?
I'll beat his ass.
If she's sitting at the bar by herself and you're meeting her later, just come up with a bunch of flowers. Like, go buy flowers in the gift shop and just set them beside her and then have her sit there with her arms folded, you see? Just like this, you know what I mean? And just kind of sit back and look at it and go, "You think that's all it's going to take? You think that's it? Think you can just apologize with that?
Can I get you a coffee, honey?" Honestly,
I didn't mean it.
Switch seats with her mom.
I know. Open that mouth one more time. You look like a raccoon.
I've been having a great time down here, boys. I miss you like crazy. It's beautiful out here. I'm ready to be back home, but I've been having a great time down here.
I don't believe you're going to be, man. I
think you got another day under your belt, bro.
I would go down to the front desk and see if you can't make some arrangements. If they still got a room available.
That's such a shame. Look, I've been stalled in Houston. I've been stalled in the Carolinas. I've been stalled in Florida. I've been stalled in San Antonio, Texas. I got to say, as far as places that I have been delayed, not to mention not having ever gone to the airport yet today, I'm okay with being stalled out at Las Vegas.
Is there one more place you wanted to go eat that you didn't get a chance to go eat? Is there one more thing that you can do? You know what I mean?
Someone from the text line says, tell Mike to go to Miguel's Tequila Bar at the South Point Casino.
Miguel's Tequila Bar, and that sounds like my speed right there. We'll do anything I tell her.
Did you ever make it down to Fremont?
No, we did not make it to Fremont.
Oh, dude, there
that
you
might
go.
Actually be on the docket. If we go one more night, we might actually make it down there.
Take an Uber, get down to Fremont, man. Have a good time. They've got a zip line that runs all the way down the middle.
He's done the zip line.
Oh, yeah, you know. That's
I say you go get a $60 hamburger. Cash your winnings.
Pick it up Morton's in Fremont. You can stop in, get a nice steak down there.
I have been to two restaurants by Bobby Flay so far on this trip. I'm a little bit tapped out when it comes to money. However, you know what? I might be able to make it on down to Fremont.
Yeah, you get your $63 from the Seahawks.
It's a place to go.
Fremont's a little bit cheaper than the Strip, that's for sure.
I think you got a better chance of winning money when you gamble down there, too.
You do. They don't pay out as much, but they pay more often.
I'm teaching them how to play the table game, so we might have to see if we can make a little bit of extra money before we come home.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you should do roulette and just always bet on black and then point at her eye.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. That's all I ever do, Steve.
Yeah. You want to bet on black again, woman?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Bet on black.
Last time she did that, it was red. Can't you see? See what happens? All right, brother. Good luck.
Good luck, Mike.
All right, love you guys.
See you, man.
See you later.
Good times.
Dude, he's not wrong. If you're going to be stuck somewhere, like I volunteered to get off a flight once. It's like first class ticket tomorrow and a free night in Vegas. So I was like, oh.
Well, but if you're not there for 2 or 3 days.
He's there with his mother-in-law, so Mike doesn't do all the things that we do. So when I need to leave Vegas, like I need to leave Vegas. We've all consumed roughly the same amount of alcohol, but obviously there are plenty of illegal narcotics in my system as well. And at that point, like I need to go home.
Well, the problem
is the night
before, whatever drugs you have, you got to do them.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not really prepared for the fact that, there's
another day. Now you're delayed.
Day. Right. Now you did all that. You really didn't need to do all that.
Yeah. The last time we were there.
You got nothing, but you still got another day, and you just feel like garbage.
Last time we were there was a show. There was a little contraband left, and I'm like, man, I can't let this go to waste. And everyone had done their best to help reduce this particular stash, and I gave it the old college try until like 4:30 in the morning. Get to the airport, and, like, I am completely wired, man. I am out of my mind crazy because I did more of this than I normally would. But I'm trying to get rid of it. By the way, did not get rid of all of it. Just put it in the top drawer of the
right near the Bible.
Hotel. Yeah, next to the Bible. But I will say, if they told me my flight was delayed, I probably would have thrown myself out of a window.
That was the
slowest. I have to get home,
That was the slowest chewed Burger King hamburger, cheeseburger in that airport down by the Alaska terminal that I've ever had. It's just like, I can't even chew.
Yeah, it was
bad. Right, forget the drugs, just the booze alone in Vegas. I've sat at that same terminal.
It's so quiet.
Struggling.
And but I will say, sweaty.
Last time I went, I was there literally 24 hours to go see Dead & Company. That was the nicest time I ever had at the airport. But we partied, we hung out, but like we weren't like hurt.
Well, you didn't kill yourselves.
Yeah.
Right. So
I mean,
then the next
3 days, I am ready to go.
Oh, I'm with you. If I spend three or four nights, I mean, they were making fun of me after the F1 race because we had watched football all day and this and that. And then that night, everybody was going to some club. I was like, I'm staying in. And like, I remember, like, I fell asleep on the couch. They get back at like 3 a.m. They're like, oh, Smith's ready to roll. I'd already showered. Bags were packed next to the door because I was like, I need to get the hell out of this town.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Billy. Welcome to the men's room.
When there was a pretty big heat wave over on the East Coast, my cousin and I decided we were going to drive over to Ohio to go see the gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, my.
And, and there's a lot more of the story than the weather, but we'll just stick to that part, I guess. So, day one, it was 107 degrees, and it just was awful. Just like you hate the cold thrill, I hate the heat. It was not my weather. So we pretty much just sweated the whole day, just waiting for, like, the festivities to go on and everything. And Juggalos aren't the greatest people in the world to just spend the whole day with, let alone 3 or 4 days.
Are you a juggalo?
A closet juggalo.
All right, closet juggalo, okay.
I mean, I've seen these guys, I've seen ICP 10 times in concert. Great show every single time, so we figured the gathering would be fun. It was not fun. Like I said, it's 107, sweating the whole time, and so by the time the sun starts to go down, we start to kind of wander around a bit. Took a few mushrooms and started just, you know, enjoying the day and heading back to our campsite. I see these clouds coming through. I was like, whoa, those are pretty cool. And I just seen some lightning strikes and it looks like that's even cooler. But it's rolling over us. And when you're at an outdoor festival, lightning strikes, they shut the show down, right? So it just starts crazy wind, thunder, lightning storm. It shuts down the show, so juggalos are left to their own devices. The worst people with no rules at an outdoor festival. Tents were being tossed everywhere. It was just a nightmare. So the next morning, I get up and I gotta pee really bad. So I try to go find the porta potties. And I hit about 20 of them before I found one I could actually use because they were covered in poop, used tampons, and other bodily fluids. So it was just nasty. What's that?
What town was that in?
Just east of Columbus.
All right. Okay. So you're on 70, basically, between there and Pittsburgh.
It's called, Legend Valley is the name of the place. It's a pretty cool venue. You know, you got giant dinosaurs, so you walk around on mushrooms. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
But other than juggalos. But, yeah, so that storm just, you know, the juggalos lit some porta potties on fire. They turned over some cars. But the next day it was so hot again. It was either spend another day with the juggalos in the heat or just call our loss and go home. So we ended up just driving right back home after one day.
Yeah, I would too. That would be my vote.
Yeah, that
point. Man, sorry, guys.
The cars start getting turned over, you're like, this is more than I want.
I can't drink
any
more Faygos.
God, which year was it? Was it 94, 95? I guess Lollapalooza over in the racetrack at West Virginia.
It's the dog track.
Dog track?
Yeah, dog track, sorry.
Charlestown, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah, Charlestown Racetrack.
Charlestown Racetrack, yeah.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Went to my first Lollapalooza, right? Great show. It was, Rage Against the Machine Open, followed by Tool, Fishbone, Alice in Chains, Primus. Great show. But it was about 100 degrees outside, and that is what it is, that part of the country. You kind of know that's going to be the case. But there were two things. One, they did not let you bring your own water in.
So fertile.
And so it's like, all right, fine. You know this is going to overcharge for water when you get there. They ran out of water after the second act. Tool was the second band. So it opened with Rage Against the Machine. They're followed by Tool. Then they do this announcement before the third band goes on. This is an all-day thing, mind you. We have run out of water. I cannot explain just how the mood changed. 100,000 people there, whatever the hell it is. They damn near burned this place to the ground, so they had to do another announcement that says, we are now getting trucks to ship water in. So people are like, okay, but that still took like an hour and a half. So by the time they get back with water, people are already passed out. People are in bad places. A lot of drugs have been going down, too. We're staying hydrated is important. So then they announce we do have water, and now there's this mass crush at all the places that sell water to get water, and people are buying as much as they can. They were selling it, I want to say it started at $12 a bottle. When they made that announcement, once again, I thought this place was going to burn to the freaking ground. Within about 45 seconds, I think they got it down to $8 for a bottle of water. And everybody spent all of their money on water. But then the beer vendors are upset because no one's spending money. I'm like, you needed to rehydrate.
The beers are $4.
So now, right, the beer is cheaper than the water.
93.
But everyone needed water because, again, it was that hot and it had been so long where you didn't have any. And it wouldn't let you walk back into the racetrack. So people are like, dude, I have a cooler in my car with water. And they're like, look, if you go out and get it, you can get the water, but you can't come back into the thing.
And that was part of the issue with that Woodstock in 99.
Where everything
the famous one where they burn everything was because they ran out of drinking water.
And that, right, it becomes an issue. Man, when it's that hot. So what was cool about this whole show, though, so now everyone has the exact same drinking water bottle. So by the time Alice in Chains hits the stage, and I always remember this, Lane is still alive, and I remember he walks out, he has this big pot leaf necklace on. I'm pretty sure they were stoned because it was a really good show, but they seemed very focused and chill, if you know what I mean. But the sun started going down. So all of the empty water bottles, they all went up in the air. It was like, you know, people knocking balloons around. But the way these spinning bottles caught the sunlight, like I remember the band, like, so Lane, as the band's playing, he's supposed to come back in, start singing the next verse. He just let it go, and he's just staring at all these water, I mean, thousands of them, just rotating in the sky, look like fireflies. It's just empty plastic bottles. So oddly enough, that's one of the coolest moments that I've had with the band, just watching this kind of thing go on. But it only happened because they ran out of water in the first freaking place on one of the hottest goddamn days I have ever been outdoors.
So, right. Heat, humidity, right? Like, I'm a college football nerd. A big part of college football is the traditions, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Washington State and LSU are two of the only schools that run, that have, like, double-poled field goal uprights.
Yeah, yeah.
They run through them, this and that. So, Tennessee, when they come out, their band gets together, and they make this giant T, and they run through it, right? So, if you're a college football person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like watching that damn duck come out on the motorcycle. So we go down there. It's Labor Day weekend. It is the hottest damn day you've ever been.
Right.
They're playing Montana. Montana, not a bad program, but Tennessee's going to crush them.
Sure.
Montana, this is the first game of the year. Same thing, right? The whole thing is, we got to see them run through this tee. So as we're walking up, it's been hot all day. My buddy Bernie goes, Teddy, storm's coming in. And you can just see these clouds rolling in. It's all aluminum benches. Game gets suspended before they even kick it off for like 2 hours. Maybe either way.
But it's still hot.
So you can't, but again, you can't leave the stadium. So everybody's just on the concourse. You're dripping sweat. It's gross. Game, storms are gone. They're going to do the thing. But it's too late. They have only not run through the tee twice in 50 years. And I was there for one of them.
Did they not do it just because of the time?
Yeah, it was too late. They were like, they're not going to run through the tee. They're just going to come out and play. And, like, it was like,
that's why I'm here.
Yeah, like, and everybody in Knoxville is like, here to see them run through the tee. Like they talk, right, as much as they love football, they love the fact that they run through that damn tee. And it's super cool the way the band interweaves and this and that. And we had bought seats behind that section.
Just to see
behind them. The tee.
You know what? The bands need to get more credit in the heat, too, man. Because the players, obviously the players are hot, but, you know, they have the cooling machines and all that. And these bands walk out in those dumbass wool uniforms, right? And I'm like, dude, it is 102 degrees outside. They're just out there playing their little asses off. I'm like, how do you do this? Right, like I said, the players, we know the players are hot. Everyone in the stands are hot. The difference is, like I said, the players have the coolers blowing on in the band. You're sitting in a band section covered in wool. I mean, think about that.
And what about the mascots?
And the mascot! Think about that ass.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
You know from the legendary punk band The Farts. Also in Guns N' Roses, Duff McKagan, coming up on the program.
At 4:30. In the meantime, our question.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Somebody here says, if you look at the PUD outage map east of Stanwood, north of Arlington, I'm one of those 11 people without power. But then they add four.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fortunately, my phone, radio, and bong don't need power. So they're good hands.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call, man. Everybody should charge your phone.
Yeah, definitely charge your phone. Yep. Just do it now.
Black Raven out in Redmond. Power's down there. Woodinville location still has power.
Aha!
So there you go. Right. You want to try the brand new Men's Room Olidays Holiday Porter. What a wonderful night to enjoy one of those.
Head up to Woodinville.
Delicious beers. Exactly. Our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Peyton. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. Actually, I was curious. I had one story, but I'm actually changing because I got a better one.
All right.
After hearing that one guy talk about the weather. So, coming back from deployment, you go through Kuwait, and I got selected to be on baggage detail. So that means I have to take bags from one container into another container when we're moving around. And unfortunately, when I came back home, it was July. So being July in Kuwait is the worst. I don't know how to explain it. It's so hot. You know, I'm originally from the Washington area, so I'm used to maybe maxing out at 80, 90 degrees for like a week. So when I'm over there, and it's just, I'm in a steel container moving all of these bags, moving everybody's stuff. And then they're like, hey, be careful. And there's pilots that have these tough, they're called tough box, that's full of their gear. And they're like, hey, be careful. And it's just like, you just want to snap at them, but I can't snap because I'm just lower enlisted, just being told, hey, voluntold, hey, you're doing this. Not if you like it or not. So it's just, it was just so, like, it was just all day. I'm just sweating through everything. I'm drinking, no matter how much water you drink, you're just dying.
Did you interact with any, like, Kuwaiti citizens? In other words, like, what do they do when it is this hot? Do they shut down the city during the day and do things at night? Or are they just used to it?
They're just so used to it. I mean, they still run stuff a lot. So when we got transferred from one base to another to leave, we were on buses. We all got onto these buses, and these buses had no AC.
Come on.
So you're driving, and I think one of the buses got broke down. So we were sitting there. There's really no shade, and you're just dying. And, yeah, I know they're still out doing stuff. I mean, they were building a massive airport when I went through in Kuwait City, and it was – they were working during the day, but during the night is when they actually do stuff, because instead of being like 110, 120, it's like a manageable 90 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like Phoenix. You know, a lot of people that we talk to either live currently in Phoenix to fly up here for business and all that kind of thing, but they're all like, look, because we'd be jealous of something. And they said, listen, man, we don't do anything during the day. If there are people that like jog or ride bikes, all these healthy people, they're like, look, I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get my run in.
To walk your dog.
Because once the sun is up, it is too hot to physically be outside. Right. And I'm not trying to kill my dog and burn its pads and all this. And I'm like, damn, man. So that's why you live the nightlife there.
That's why even if you look at the breeds of dogs that people buy in certain areas of the country, if you live in Palm Springs, you don't see corgis like you do in the Pacific Northwest. They're big coats and low to the ground.
Right. Yeah.
You can't have that when it's 115 degrees for 3 months in a row. I mean, you're putting your dog in jeopardy of just absolutely dying.
We talked to one guy who has a pool, which is pretty standard if you own a house in Arizona, right? And we're like, well, dude, why don't you splash around in the pool? He said, listen, dude, when it's 115, 120 degrees outside, and this past summer, I guess, was like record-breaking for him. So the pool is 95 degrees. So I hear what you're saying, but like, it doesn't feel good.
Dude, it happened to me in Vegas. The day I was there, it was 117 this July.
Oh.
And same thing.
Damn.
We were hanging out at the pool. And I was like, all right, I'm getting in the pool. And it was like, this is not refreshing.
No, it's awful.
It was, I mean, just so warm.
And they're not. And the thing is, and they're not deep. Right? So, like, if you had a super deep pool, I mean, it would still be warm, but, like, the Vegas pools are maybe, what, four feet? Maybe?
Yeah. Don't drown you drunk, Debbie.
Right.
Yeah, and, like, the pool we were at, that was a nice casino. That was more to be seen at the pool.
Of course it was. You're actually getting in the water, sir.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
You say you got frozen espresso teenies? Count me in.
Yeah, not for long. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Hey, liquor and whores for Mike, and his wife shouldn't listen the first time.
That's right. Exactly right.
So, I used to live down in Southern California in the mountains outside of San Bernardino. And my roommate and I had a plan where his girlfriend was there. And I was going to bring a gal up that I'd seen a couple times to come up for dinner, spend the night, have a little adult fun. And he called me in the middle of the day and said, you need to get home because it's snowing. And I'm driving his, like, 67 Volkswagen Bug, which didn't have real good headlights.
Yeah. No.
Also. So me and this gal, we're heading up to where we live, and we get to about 1,000 feet, and now we are in snow, and we're in the clouds. And I mean clouds. So luckily, it's two lanes in both directions. So people are pulling over to chain up. There's, you know, the right lane is where people are doing it, so you can get around them on the left. And I did not have chains, so that was not an option. I had to keep moving. And it got so bad with the snow and the clouds that I had to have the driver's side window down. I had to have her watch ahead and tell me if she saw any lights in front of us. And I had to look out the driver's side window straight down to the ground to see the yellow line to steer.
Also, so she's the eyes forward, you're the eyes down. This is how this operation's working?
Absolutely. It was the only way that we got home.
Also, one of the worst defrosters ever in the history of automobiles was a Volkswagen Bug. I mean, that's why people used to have fans on the dash just to be able to clear the window so you could see out.
Yeah, absolutely. The only good thing about the whole deal was we ended up getting about 10 inches of snow. So what started out as an overnight adventure turned into a 2-day adventure before I could get her home. So
was that beneficial for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
21, it was perfect.
Oh, yeah. 21, like, all right, I got this. We'll survive this. Exactly.
The only good thing about that car was it was rear-wheel drive and the engine was in the back, so as much as it just seems like a two-wheel car, at least, like a front-wheel drive car,
right.
At least the engine was sitting on the back of the...
I mean, you remember my Topaz.
Mm-hmm.
So the last year we were in Baltimore... Is that the one? No. I don't remember that one year. We got, like, 2 feet of snow over a couple days.
I do remember that.
So I had been at work... Right, like working the overnight Saturday through Sunday, had worked a bunch of hours. I can't remember what day it is, but at one point during the kind of the middle of the storm, somebody else actually shows up, and I'm like, screw it, I'm getting home.
Yeah,
right. So I still was living in that house in Baltimore. So right, this had to be before that, right? So you'll remember York Road.
Yep.
Right, York Road. Like, there's highways you can get on, but I know my Topaz isn't going to make it to the highway. So I'm just like, screw it, I'll go down York Road. Well, when you get down to where I was living in Baltimore, some of York Road's kind of ghetto.
Little bit.
I had that Topaz. I mean, the speedometer said 60. I was barely moving, right? And I'm just like swerving around, tires spinning on York Road. There's I remember a couple dudes just screaming at me like, you're crazy. But I mean, but kind of like he said, I have no lights on. It's so white out. And then when I called my buddies and I'm like, I'm going to be in the alley in like 2 minutes. You guys better be back there. And just basically, I got to make a right, like kind of cut down towards our alley. And then I got stuck and they just started pushing me. But to this day, even telling that story now, that was dumb. Like, there's a good chance halfway down, I would have just got stuck.
It is dumb, but the flip side is, to your point, you know, when you're working part-time at a radio station and the weather's bad, guess what? You're about to go full-time without the full-time pay because all the full-timers are like, hey, yeah, man, I can't make it in. And they do oh, don't worry about it. We got this guy Ted in there. Okay, well, Ted's been there for 15 hours, right? But it doesn't matter. That happened to me 1 year.
Plus the boy, I'm still living with six other dudes at a row house. The boys are at home living it up.
Of course.
By the time I get off that one, I'm just like, I got to get home. I got to have some fun.
Yeah. It is the worst. And then, hey, man, we really need you to come in because the weather's so bad. And I'm like, you got all these full-time people, all the big-name air personalities. Of course, they can't make it in, right? But I can get my ass in there. And you do. And basically, all I'm there to do is tell people what they already know. Hey, if you look out your window, all that snow, it's still there. Hey, you know your boss called you earlier and said, don't come in? He still doesn't need you. Why am I here?
Well, there's also an updated laundry list of closings in the area, too. So you got to monitor that. You're the only person in the building. And you're like you're the one who has to give out all the pertinent information as far as road closures and services that are open and services that are not.
But with this storm, honest to God, it was like, Christ. Nothing is open. There is nothing
right, you
open.
Couldn't do it. I mean, nothing. Literally, the streets, all in our neighborhood were closed. I mean, the grocery store we go to, right? It wasn't a huge chain, but same thing. We thought it was kind of a joke. They just ran out of stuff because the distribution trucks couldn't get down those roads.
They just put us up in a hotel room. And basically, you went eight on, eight off. Which was great because the bar was open. They did give you that option.
They did not do that with us, though.
And all that. So that, to me, I was just like, look, man, I got a couple of young kids. I remember that storm because I had to stay in a hotel.
Right, I'm part-time. They're not going to up my pay.
They do not put part-timers in a hotel.
Right, and I'm also working at the sports station, so I'm basically just running stuff off the bird and then hitting an ID. I think I would run down the hall and hit an ID for somebody else. Right. But it's not like I'm cracking a mic and giving out info.
You're honestly not doing anything.
No.
Right, that's why I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
It's like house-sitting for someone who's gone for 2 weeks, but they didn't leave any food in their fridge. And their TV doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just there.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Now, the plus side is I did make it home. We walked over to the bar we all worked at.
Mm-hmm.
We took a giant, industrial trash can with us.
Yeah.
Filled it up with 40s. And we dragged it home. And we sat it on our front porch. And we drank 40s for a day.
Now, see, that is a happy ending to a story.
the best thing I had in that entire situation was the typical Marylander stereotype is, he's got one of those Jeeps. It's kind of jacked up. The doors were only on in the winter.
Right.
As far as that goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy I knew was like, do-rag, always, hat was always on
was
backwards.
Was this the drug dealer?
Yeah, Phil.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds like Phil.
You call Phil and be like, hey, Phil, man. He's like, oh, dude, I can get there. And then he just, he'd get in his Jeep, man, and the next thing you know, he's doing donuts in the giant parking lot in front of the rotunda delivering drugs so he could have for the next 2 days. It was just insane. So we were like a little paranoid, but
think about it. You can't get a taxi. You couldn't go to McDonald's. You can't go to the grocery store. But if you needed cocaine, Phil would show up.
Yeah, the giant was closed.
I will also say shout out to the Chinese joint down the street from us. That dude walked up in a foot and a half of snow.
To deliver food?
Yes.
Damn.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803.
I mean, it's Charles Village, so it was only a couple blocks. But still, man. We were shocked he even answered. And then he was like, yeah, man, I'll walk it up. And we were like, we'll tip you $40. He's like, I'll walk it up.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, in that case. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Gentlemen, good to talk with you. And I might say the trash can full of 40s is behavior that I approve of.
Yeah. Like I said, the end of that story makes it all okay. Right.
And then we order Chinese food.
So two quickies. So the first one that was, I grew up in Northwest Tennessee, a little terrible redneck town in God's country, if God equals tornadoes. But my family had this cabin with a little dock on the Kentucky Lake, which is part of Tennessee River. So my brother and I, he's my best friend. We were 19 and 20-ish. And we were hanging out there on the dock, drinking some beers, and it was cloudy, and some weather rolling in, and I started feeling kind of tingly, and I looked down, and the hair on my arm was standing up. I looked over at my brother, and the hair on his head was kind of beginning to float, and I was like, dude, and right about the time I said that, it sounded like somebody fired a shotgun right beside my head, and there was this blinding flash of light, and of course, we both just levitated out of the chair, and then when kind of came back to my senses a bit, the one of the corners of that dock that we were sitting on, which was wooden but had a tin roof, was gone. So we made it from the dock back up this big hill to the cabin in like maybe like 5 seconds. It was a lightning strike that hit the dock while we were sitting on it.
That's kind of terrifying.
That was impressive. That was impressive. Yeah. The other one real quick that brought to mind when you were talking about people calling into the radio station, I had exactly the same thing, but I used to work at a hospital. Also back in Tennessee. I'm here in the Seattle area now for a long time. Thank God. Worked at this hospital. I used to work 12-hour shifts as an ER technician. So basically, just doing stuff. I wasn't a nurse, but doing all kinds of different stuff. And we had a big ice storm, which we're prone to in West Tennessee. More than snow, a lot of ice. And we had this huge ice storm, and people started calling in. I was working my regular 12-hour shift, and people called in and called in. And I ended up working 36 hours straight with no breaks.
Yeah, I don't want someone in the medical field who's been awake for 36 hours straight.
You almost feel like you're on acid.
Yeah,
you almost
get you totally do. That's exactly what I said before, because that's the perfect analogy.
It is, but it's less fun.
Yeah. No, it's
you're not enjoying it.
And when you go to bed, you go to bed for like 18 hours.
Oh yeah,
and you take the longest nap that you've ever taken in your life. You wake up and you don't know what day it is. Because
it was not fun, and I had the same feeling. I was like, dude, I don't want to be in a hospital where somebody like me has been awake for 36 hours.
You really don't, man. You really don't.
They're like, well, you're not a doctor or a nurse, so it doesn't matter.
Take this blood then. Here.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, the one time that I sleep deprived myself, and basically the same thing, you're yelling, you're partying and all this, but like I thought I was on fire. Not because I saw flame, but smoke. I saw smoke everywhere, and I'm debating, and I had to go to work, so I'm working security at the same way here, at a corporate office building, but it's on the weekend. There's nobody there, and everywhere I look, there's smoke, and I'm like, oh, S, man, I can't smell it, but I can see it, and then do I pull the fire alarm? Do I call my boss? Because I don't want to make this a big deal if it's just something small I can handle, but no matter where I looked, I could not find the source of the smoke. So I sit back down at the front desk, and I'm just kind of pondering this, like, man, what do I do? And I looked at my arms, and it looked like my arms were smoking. And I'm like, oh, you're hallucinating.
Yes.
Because you have not slept. I'd never had that experience before.
It's great.
And after that, I made it a point to not do that again. He's talking about lightning striking close to where you were. Now, you've been struck by lightning, Miles. I have not. But years ago, me and my buddy Leon, we made friends with the people that live like 4 or 5 blocks up the street. Both of these chicks are bartenders. So when they threw a party, like they threw down. So they invited us, no big deal. In between our home and their home, there's a bar where you can buy carry-on. So we're dead broke at the time, and it started raining. But again, it's only 4 or 5 blocks. So by the time we got to the bar to get our order, it started dumping rain. And the bartender, I remember he gave us 2 big-ass black hefty trash bags that we could put over. We'd poke our heads out, but keep your body dry. And then we each had a case of bottled beer. I do not remember what the bottles were, but I guarantee it was cheap because we're broke. So we got 2 cases of beer. We got our trash bags. We're like, F it. We'll just make the final sprint and get up to this chick's house. And we go outside, we make about half a block, and there's this big-ass tree on the other side of the street. And lightning hit it. This is boom! Orange sparks, and then half of the street just falls onto half the tree falls onto the street, directly across the street. Leon and I, we both freak out, because it's so loud, it's so close, and you kind of feel it, but there was no real effect from it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we both dropped our cases of beer, and we ended up with 48 broken bottles of beer.
Every one of them?
Every bottle in the case is broke, and we were so pissed about that, and I really felt like nature did me dirty. Either strike me with lightning, or don't do it so close that we freak out and drop our bottles.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
All right, so back in February, we had that nasty winter storm, right? Mm-hmm. I booked a flight to Utah to go visit a friend. Getting texts about flights delayed this, flights delayed that on a Saturday. Long story short, we get on the plane at around 5 o'clock. They tell us the plane's broken. We have to get off the plane, go to another terminal, get on the plane to Los Angeles, get there about 10:30, 11 at night, had to stay there until like 7 in the morning to catch a layover to San Francisco, and then another 90-minute layover to finally get to Utah. I lost 24 hours of travel because of snow up here.
Good God, man.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're not in a hotel at any point, right? This is all airport waiting?
Nope. I just slept on the airport floor in Los Angeles for like a good 8 hours, off and on, because you never know what's going on. People are sketchy or going to mess with their stuff or whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
I've had one that got delayed. Then I ended up in Cincinnati, a.k.a. Covington,
Kentucky,
for hours, right? But I got there so late, it delayed me. Then I had to fly to Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
Trying to fly back up to Baltimore. But same thing. It was like 20-some hours.
You could have walked.
Of traveling. And it was just.
You could have gotten a Greyhound and been back home.
It was just brutal. Yeah, I mean, honestly.
You could have saved money, gotten on a Greyhound, and gotten home faster.
If I had thought about it, I probably could have just found a different flight from Cincinnati. But I didn't think it was going to take that long. And then they were like, we're going to send you to Atlanta. So by the time I got to Atlanta, right? Like, I was on vacation. I had had some pops in Kentucky with this awesome chick in the smoking lounge.
All right.
And then right by the time I get to Atlanta, though, man, your boy's running ragged. And then I want to say from Atlanta back up to Baltimore. I don't know. I don't even remember what time I got back to the East Coast. I remember somebody picking me up and was just like, don't talk to me. Like, I need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Because you're frazzled.
You're frazzled, too.
Yeah. That's the worst part.
Oh, God.
Right? And listen, this won't shock you. You want to sit next to me in an airport bar. Right, like I'm fired up.
Right,
I want to chat. Like by the time I got to Atlanta, like somebody's trying to talk to me, and I'm just like I just was like, "What?" He's like, "Are you drunk?" I'm like, "I don't know what I am."
Right, I need a beer.
I'm delusional.
Yes.
Doug McKagan coming up on the program. He's going to show tomorrow night at Showbox Soto. Should be calling right around 4:30. And we have your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.